This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, open our eyes to that love and the peace that you give us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I can see it now. The newspaper in this small town in Galilee says, alert, Jesus has sent out 70, maybe 72, to our town. They're coming this way. They've come to give you peace, to tell you about demons and curing your sick. And most of all, to let you know that the kingdom of God is near. They're coming. I don't know about you, but if I saw that, I think I'd say, well, I wonder what they have to say. Some curiosity, or maybe just folding the paper up and putting it down and say, oh, just itinerant preachers again coming to our area. But if I were those 70, maybe 72 disciples, I think I'd be a little concerned. Because Jesus has just said, I can't take a purse, I can't take a bag, no extra sandals, and I am to go announce the kingdom of God is near. All right. How would we feel? Unprepared? I think of the places of vulnerability where we enter in with God's name in our heart and the news of our Lord and our Savior being prepared to be uttered and wonder if it's going to actually be said by me. When I was in clinical pastoral education, which is between the second and third year of a seminary year, we had this course, and it would be at a hospital, and it would be for 16 weeks, where we would first 4 weeks learn things like, oh, pastoral care in hospitals, family relationships, how to write up a little critique of what happened so that we can, anonymously, so that we could learn, are we exercising skills of ministry and pastoral care, or is it about me and I'm inserting myself in this situation? So we would learn that, and then we would have chapel every morning. But the chapel, beginning of the fifth week, we were to receive a list of names to go visit. And we had a little ceremony. We prayed, and I was the last of the six out of the chapel because I realized that all the stacks of books that I had, both from seminary and before, that all the classes I'd gone to, that I was actually going up empty-handed to meet someone I didn't know from a list of names that I had to meet them and to bring the Word of God to basically say, the kingdom of God has come near to someone who is ill and suffering and isolated to some degree in a hospital by themselves at night. Well, except for all the nurses and all the noise if you've been in hospitals. And I felt quite vulnerable because I realized no Book of Common Prayer, no Bible. And I didn't even know the faith, the denomination, the faith of the people we were visiting. So I thought and I prayed and I said, yeah, but what I know about Jesus, what I know about God, that's what I've got. And what more do I really need? On that prayer, on that hope, I went up to whatever the floor was and saw the first person and survived, and without putting too much of myself into it, and got through that day. But it was eye-opening to know there are no sandals, no bags. But maybe it's just what we know and love of Jesus. There was a system in Jesus' instructions to these 72 disciples. He said, go into a town, and when you go there, they would do, parenthetically, what John Pilch, who's sort of an expert on culture during Jesus' time in Judea, Galilee, is that the strangers to town would go sort of to the middle of the area, middle of town, And the people of that town would come and invite them into their home, which sounds so strange to us, doesn't it, that we would invite strangers. It's enough to invite your relatives, right? You know that they're coming. But under in this code of hospitality, it didn't talk about your family or near relatives. In fact, it was assumed that they would all stay with you. And that was really not hospitality. Hospitality was to strangers. And it was the men of the family that issued the invitation to the people who came, traveling sometimes, couples, whatever, but invite them into their home. So at that juncture, when we hear at the end of Jesus' instructions that if the town rejects you, reject them. Because it was a huge insult. So if the two went to this particular town, the pair that were sent out in pairs, when they went to the town, if they didn't invite them in, that's when they go ahead and just do the dust off their feet. But announce to them, the opportunity was here. The kingdom of God is in your midst, but you have rejected it and rejected us and the one who sent us and the one who sent him. So in this structure, this cultural structure, they were given instructions on what to do. But when we think about it, it really applies to so many situations. When we enter into something that's new and we pray to ourselves that, Lord, give me strength, give me knowledge, give me some experiences how to meet somebody new or to enter, we ask for God's peace. We come to that place of shalom, which is what probably Jesus instructed them to say. The shalom is wholeness, completeness, restoration. Or maybe it was the Greek, maybe it was irene, which means something like hospitality and peace, but it even goes farther. It has a sense of welcoming. It has a different sense of just completeness. And it applies to community. This is all about community, about meeting and greeting. So Jesus says to them, peace, go. Peace is so significant in our New Testament and throughout our Hebrew scriptures, this peace. What is the first thing he says to them when he sees them after the resurrection? Peace, my peace. When seeing Jesus, understanding that we don't understand what's happened, but at the sense of, oh my gosh, restoration, he is alive. He's alive as he said. So the second thing is, eat what they put before you. Where do we get to know one another? Where do we share our stories? Where do we begin to break down what image we might have of someone to really get to know them? St. Joseph's has wonderful dinners, wonderful places where you have table fellowship, community that's built, getting to know each other, always that way. And it's the place where what we thought of someone or what they thought of us comes into the terms of reality, who we really, really are. So in eating, it's also offering hospitality, but it's also nourishment. It's that place where we're restored, where we feel this connection with people and begin to breathe and relax with strangers. There's that wonderful image in our reading from Isaiah today that talks about the new Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that will be reconstructed after they've returned from Babylon, but they have to build it again. And it's this vision, this image of what Jerusalem is going to be like. And it's compared to Jerusalem being able to suckle the community, to be able to dandle the people on her knee. There's this embracing of love and of total acceptance and of nourishing. So taking that to the table, we understand. There is a place, too, that I want to add of something about Mother Teresa, because I think this is so important in terms of breaking down barriers that we often anticipate just in encountering the new person, the new community, the new town, the new situation, the children finally graduated from kindergarten going into first, or they're graduating from high school and they're going off to college. I'm nervous, but oh, thank you, Lord, that they're going. New circumstances mixed, and sometimes they're in-between times, those things that we knew how they worked to the times where we're adjusting to they work differently. Mother Teresa says that the greatest concern of this world isn't the diseases of leukemia or tuberculosis. It's that those that feel uncared for, forgotten, set aside, unwelcomed. She speaks particularly of the poor, but I would say that that isn't necessarily confined to the poor. She goes on further to say that her Sisters of Charity, with the light of Christ in their hearts, bring so much to those who don't expect anything, don't expect love, to be seen, to be noticed, to be understood, to be brought to a table. So in looking at that, it brings me to our situation that today we're in an in-between time. We're in in-between between pre-COVID and post-COVID. And I don't know about you. I've been very careful. I'm sure you have been. I've been careful where I go, who I'm with, how long I'm someplace. And it has, in many ways, put me in a place of isolation, a place of being apart and separate from communities that I have, that I've loved and I've enjoyed, and people that I have seen. But doing so in a very limited and a very judicious way. And in that, I have lost my sense to some degree of who I am. Because what the community is, who you are, how you see me, how I anticipate or see that you see me, helps me know who I am. And the reason our communities of worship are so important, our communities of fellowship, is because you remind me, and I remind you, that we are children of God, that when we gather God's peace that we will exchange, and that we talk about that God's peace, God's kingdom of God is near us, which is why we come and we see each other differently. And it is places of worship, places of faith, that reinforce that God is near and that God loves us. So that's not my pitch for church, but it is for understanding how I can reattach to communities and to those I love without feeling any kind, without feeling an assault upon a boundary that I need to uphold in terms of my own safety and health. And as that decreases, or if it increases again, of navigating it. And I would say that there are people in this faith community and beyond these walls that feel unwelcomed, uncared for, forgotten, simply because of our own isolation. And at this time, it is so important to be able to reach out and to call someone and to tell someone that you're thinking about them, or to drop a note to someone and say, God's kingdom is near us, it's with us, that we are God's children, and I have missed you and I love you. There is something about being reminded and to hear a voice that puts us back into a reality, just as this peace is a sense of reality. Do you know that almost every letter in the New Testament has the peace of the grace of God and the peace of the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, to you? It always starts with peace, because peace reminds us that God is in our lives, that God loves us and asks us to take that love out to others. Don't only do that, but also cure. If I were told of one of those 70, 72 to cure, I'd have to think back and said, Jesus said, go and drive out those demons, cast them out, set aside evil, replant it basically with goodness and love and acceptance, and also to remind them each time the kingdom of God is here. We're called to go. We think unequipped, but totally equipped with God's love in our hearts. And in that, we are strengthened that we're not alone. We are vulnerable, But it's in our own vulnerability that we understand even deeper God's love. At St. Luke's Episcopal Church, we did a mission trip to Belize. And in it, there were 12 of us who went. The one fact that was so important to me upon our return was we go with this gusto, with this bravado that what we're taking to them, we're going to build a building. We really were. We're going to build a building, lay the foundation that they called mix the cement, the paste they called it, and to build a building for a little school in western Belize, San Ignacio. And so we went. But when we came back from that trip, we found out how much they had given us. They showed us what appreciation and love and hospitality was. They gave us cold watermelon at 10 o'clock in the morning after we had been out in the sun since 7:30 building and moving things. We remembered little vignettes of the children gathering around Fran, who had a brace on his leg, and so he wasn't doing a lot of building, but he was there and he had his camera and was explaining it to them, and they're just all around him wanting to touch it and have him explain it. It was about our teachers who went into the classrooms and learned of the great desire for learning in these little ones. We had a wonderful time. What we thought we were taking was little compared to what we brought back in our hearts, the hospitality that they offered. Jesus is saying, show God's love. Don't be shy. Don't be fearful. Don't feel vulnerable to the extent that we can't move. Pick up the phone. Do the note. Gather where you can, where you feel safe. Let this community and others know that God is in our midst and that God cares and that God loves. Amen.